Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. I am coming to you today. I hope you're having a great day. We had an awesome day witnessing the gospel. I want to talk to you today about a topic that a dear saint brought up, chastisement of the Lord. Let's talk about chastisement of the Lord. The text in question that this saint asked about was Hebrews 12, where it mentions the chastisement of the Lord. So let's go into Hebrews 12 and do a quick Bible study with some comments on that. Hebrews 12, 1 through 17, I think we're going to do. Wherefore, seeing we also, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, so setting up this talk about the Lord's chastisement, here Paul is telling us, the writer of Hebrews, is telling us that in order for us to run this faith race, and it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, saints, it's a marathon, we must endure, that God has called us to run. We can only do it if we rid ourselves of the sin and things that will hold us back from keeping the faith that was once delivered. This often takes what? Exhorting and rebuking. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 3:13, exhort each other daily, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And 1 Timothy 5:20 says, rebuke those publicly that are in sin so others may see and fear. So exhorting, rebuking, chastisement, not far away from that, we're going to see. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that awesome? He endured, he overcame for us, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus, our Master, Creator, Messiah, Savior, our Lord, he works in us via what? Well, the Spirit, the Word, and he's working on us, and he's going to finish our faith, right? He's begun it. As it says in Philippians, he's going to finish it. And that's done through what? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about it at the end of this teaching, but conviction, doctrine, situations, chastisement, which is correction from others and maybe from situations. We'll see about that, even health. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. All right, so what this is telling us is that Christ is our example, and we're to keep looking to him. He endured, and we're to endure lest we fall away in our minds, right? And like Peter walking on the water. Remember Peter? The Lord said, get out and walk. Peter got out and started walking, and he was doing fine when he looked at the Lord. When he looked at the water, he was sinking like a rock. And that's how we must be. We must keep our eyes set on Christ and his word and his ways, and not our situation, not the things around us. And I just did a teaching on you shall not fall. Go read 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter lists for us many things that we can do so that we will not fall. Go check that out at DontParish.com. Go to the teaching blog and you can look up the article, You Shall Not Fall. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All right, so what Paul is saying here is, you know, you haven't done what Christ did, right? Christ shed his blood. Most all of us haven't, or the saints he was talking to haven't. And we haven't suffered so great over all that we face. We have more striving to do. As I said, it's a marathon. Our race is not done yet. And part of our race is being chastised, exhorted, rebuked when we need it. But suffering, and perhaps great suffering, perhaps martyrdom, is required of us. Jesus said, lose your life to find it. So we must be ready for that. And that's all part of chastisement, the building of character and trials through all of it. Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. All right, so here we're reminded that we have a father. What an awesome thing. We have a heavenly father. And we're his children. I know a lot of times, you know, we call ourselves Christians and believers and saints, but we don't often, I guess a lot of people don't, think enough about we have a Heavenly Father and we're His children. And then think about that relationship, fathers and children. What do fathers do? Well, we're going to find out. Fathers teach, train up, look after, protect, and then they also correct and punish, chastise, right? Next verse tells us. Oh, by the way, why does the Father do this? Because He loves them. Yeah, He loves them. For God so loved the world, He sent Christ, and He so loves us, He also chastises us when we need it. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chastiseth, or chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. All right, so the Bible is very clear. Parents, good parents, biblical parents, correct their children as part of loving, wise discipline, parenting. The Bible talks about that. We'll get to that. That word chasten, as I said, it means correction. And that word scourge means literally a beating. A scourge was what they did to Jesus with whips, with glass and metal and ripping at His back. The context here isn't that God's going to do that to us most times. We'll see. He actually does take people's lives at times. But it's talking about correction of a parent. And the Bible does talk about physical punishment. Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Yeah, that's pretty frank and abrupt, isn't it? Beat him with a rod. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? And this verse that I read to you from Hebrews is actually quoting Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord love, He correcteth. That would be chastised. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. So when we get these chastisements, rebukes, exhortations from all the situations we're going to talk about, we probably should take it well, use it as wisdom, learn from it, repent, be humbled, and rejoice that we have a Father that loves us enough to do that for us. Amen? That's a glorious thing to think about. He's not out for vengeance. He's out for correction and redemption. That's what He's all about. Verse 7, for if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasten not? All right, so think about that. We're told to endure the correction is part of our faith, endure everything that we're going to stand before in this world and when it comes to the faith of God. And God is doing this because we're His children, right? And it says, what father doesn't correct or chastise his children whom he loves? This correction, chastisement, is to make us better soldiers, in this case, of the Lord, and to protect us. It's not for our ill. It's not for negative against us. It's not for long-term punishment. It's to get us to step in line to His word, His way, His will, which is to our own benefit. And by the way, think about it. If your father doesn't care enough to punish you or chastise you or correct you, does he really love you? No, I would say no, he doesn't. Verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. All right, there's that word. Culture kind of uses that as a swear word, but we'll talk about what it means. If you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, if you're of God, you're of the chastisement of God. His word corrects you. His spirit corrects you. The brethren corrects you. And that word bastards, and again, the culture uses this as a slang word. It's really not. What it just means is, in the Greek, it's nathos. It means an illegitimate child born of an unlawful marriage. That's what it means. Terrible word, but that's actually what it means. So it's basically saying that you'd be a bastard child. You don't have parents that care about you or that you come from an illegitimate family. But yet the one who has a father who chastens him is one that has a legitimate father who loves him and cares for him. It's the fruit that we're of God that we get corrected and chastisement. Amen? It's because of the love of the Father. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? All right, so Paul's saying, hey, our earthly fathers corrected us and probably beat them with rods. Yeah, they did corporal punishment, and they reverenced them, revered them, respected them. He's saying, how much more should we not do this for God? Because God corrects us. God is our eternal Heavenly Father. Amen to that. Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Okay, so this verse is kind of pointing to that man, fathers, even probably well-meaning ones, can do things for their wrong motives. Maybe it felt good to punish them. They were angry and they lashed out at him with punishment. I was a parent, and I know when I was an unbeliever that happened, you'd get angry and you'd lash out, and that would feel good for the moment, but it's not a good thing to do at all. And it says that we can be partakers of his holiness. Holiness, moral sanctity, right? God's perfect, right? Perfectly moral. So in this correction, we're being formed, we're being molded in a way that we can be partakers of God's nature, right? The whole idea of this is to conform us to God's character and nature, get us ready for eternity, right? Like he molds clay, he's the potter, we're the clay. And 2 Peter 1:4, if you go read that chapter I told you about, says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So yeah, if you're willing to be chastised, corrected, rebuked, exhorted, Proverbs says a wise man loves a correction, a fool hates it. If you're willing to do that, you'll be a partaker of the holiness of God, and you'll be preparing yourself to be more like the Son and enter into his kingdom when he comes. Verse 11. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay, Paul's just using common sense here. Who likes to be corrected? Who likes to be punished? Who likes to be chastised, rebuked? Actually, the Bible says a wise man wants to be, but in your flesh. Nobody likes to be. And I actually like to be corrected in my spirit. Yeah, my flesh goes, oh, I got that wrong. I shouldn't have got that wrong. But in my spirit, I actually enjoy it and like it because I want to be in the Father's truth. So the correction is something that we should look forward to. It brings about the needed change in us. It talks about righteousness. Romans 6:16, ready? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So this chastisement, this correction, this guiding, this rebuking, this exhorting, bringing you in line with doctrine is to get you into obedience, get you to righteousness, that which is right to God, which gets you to holiness. And without holiness, we're going to hear, no one sees God. We'll go to that verse here in a minute. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. All right, so Paul is basically saying, get going, don't lament over this, pick yourself up. It's a trial, it's a chastisement, it's a correction, it's a rebuke, but it's good for you. Don't stay in that place long. Don't lament over it. And I talked about holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says this, right here, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we need holiness to be set apart unto God. God knows this. God desires this. And that's why he brings in chastisement and correction. And we're going to talk about where that can come from in different areas. The chastisement allows us to partake in the holiness of God. Without it, as I said, we won't see God. And again, this is all about us being conformed to his image, right? Us being molded, our flesh being killed and crucified, our will being broken and bent and turned towards the will of the Father. As Jesus said, thy will be done. That's what we're supposed to be all about. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. All right, did you catch that? Interesting. Fail the grace of God. Hey, that means you can fall away. That means you can lose your salvation. Yeah. Why? What's it talk about? You get bitterness. You fall into sin. You turn away. The Bible talks about falling away all over. Go look up my articles, don'tperish.com, the teaching blog. My articles on Once Saved, Always Saved. And I've seen this in men. I've seen this in lots of men. Claiming Christ, they get chastised for their sin, even if it's done loving and gently. And instead of rejoicing and growing and humbly repenting, they complain, they get bitter. And guess what happens? They fall further away. They fall further away rather than receiving that correction and that rebuke to grow to be more like Christ. That's so very sad. That's not good fruit that the Spirit's working in you. That's the sin of witchcraft and rebellion that 1 Samuel talks about. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, for who one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. All right, Esau's used an example here. Remember him? The man of flesh who bent on his own ways and his hunger in his belly, he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Yeah, birthright was a big deal back then. He sold it for a bowl of stew. And what it shows us is sometimes people go into a sin and they can never find their way out. It says Esau sought for repentance and he couldn't find it. We can become this way. Be careful. Lift ourselves up lest we fall, right? We can become this way if we lack a right mind and a right spirit about trials, chastisement, correction, rebuking, exhortation. We can absolutely fall into this. And there may be times where God no longer allows, because he has to bring repentance and allow you to repent. There comes a time when you can't repent and get yourself back. Be careful. Don't even get close to that edge, like a cliff, a slippery, icy cliff. Don't even get close to see how close you can get to fall over. Stay way far away. Appreciate the chastisement, the correction, the rebuke, the exhortation. Don't become bitter and lose your blessing. You lose your eternal life, lose your walk in the Lord. So that's the verses from Hebrews 12. The next area of scripture that was brought up was 1 Corinthians 11, 30 through 32. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. All right, so here we see God, Paul is talking about God using physical ailment, even death. He uses physical ailment to chastise, and then he, in rare cases, I guess, he used death to judge. I mean, in Acts 5, he killed a couple over their sin, right? Yeah, he did. Go read about that in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. While these are extreme, what it shows us is the power of God over those who claim his name and the actions he'll take. This is all part of chastisement. Sometimes it's judgment. Most of the time, it's to keep us in line with his word and his ways. If we walk in great wisdom and fear and reverence, lest we be foolish and anger a fiery God. We're supposed to fear God, you know, that's the beginning of wisdom. And if we do that and honor our Holy Father by receiving chastisement, I like what Paul says, if you judge yourselves, we should be the hardest on ourselves. Ready? Men, we should be the hardest on ourselves, judging. We should be the hardest on our homes, judging. We should be the hardest on our body and our brethren close to us. Then from there, the outer body, if you know more people, those people. And then, of course, we don't judge the world. We preach the gospel to the world. A lot of people have that backwards. They judge the world. They overlook the sin in their body, their closest brethren, and their house and themselves. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to do. Judge yourself, Paul says, and you won't be judged. So think about it. If you want to stay out of the trouble of the laws in America, what do? Obey the laws. You won't be arrested, right? Obey the laws, pay your taxes, do everything they tell you to do that honors God. Do it, and you won't be arrested. You want to stay out of the wrath of God? Obey God's word for the New Testament. Walk in his ways, right? Keep the commands that are applicable for us today. Don't live in sin and worldliness and carnality. Love God, love your neighbor, love your brothers and your sisters. Preach the gospel, live it. Yeah, so judge yourselves rightly and you won't be judged, Apostle Paul says. This brings us to what we want to talk about. How and I guess what ways does God use to allow this chastisement? It's what does he do? How does he do it? Well, there's probably a big, big long list. I just came up with a few. Conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said the Spirit comes to convict. conviction in the word. You read the word and you read the words of God and you go, oh my, I'm outside of that, right? How about discipline in the body? You're in a body of believers, you sin, they lower the hammer on you, Matthew 18. Hey, you got to leave that sin or we're going to put you out, like Paul did with the man in sexual sin in 1 Corinthians 5. How about personal rebuke from the closest brethren? Jesus said if a brother has sin, go to him one-on-one. That's part of how God can chastise and rebuke and correct. We learned about illness and maybe even death if God's using judgment. Trials and persecutions. Things you're going to go through. Jobs, people you meet, you're out witnessing. You might get arrested unjustly. You might go to jail. You might get accused. You might get slandered. Trials and persecutions that both Peter and Paul talk about build your character. Build who you are in Christ if you withstand them. If you do them rightly. Look at Jesus, wrongly accused, lied about, but Jesus withstood, endured, and he overcame. He's our example. Paul talked about this, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We don't know what that was. A lot of people guess. I'm not going to guess. We don't know what that was, but we see how God allows things to happen in saints' lives. I just thought of one. Hey, I didn't even have this on my notes as I do this. I just thought of one. Job. God can use Satan for chastisement or correction or instruction in righteousness or to grow a person. Look what he did with Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he turned Satan loose on him other than he couldn't kill him. And he put Job through all kinds of trials. Job learned a lot through that. And so I guess God could even use evil and Satan if it's that kind of a case. So ponder that, the chastisement of the Lord. It's correction, it's rebuke. It comes in many forms. It can come from the Lord, come from the Spirit, the Word, come from brethren, come from your own convictions, come from the culture, your situation around you. It can come from the law that can bring it down on you. It can come from all different types of things. Chastisement of the Lord, it's a good and beneficial thing, and we will grow, okay, if we're humble, if we receive it rightly, if we don't have pride, if we use wisdom, if we're willing to repent, if we discern it for what it is, and then we apply it rightly and walk in it for the glory of God and the betterment of our walk and our ways. The chastisement of the Lord is a glorious thing. In most cases, it will lead you to a more fulfilling, biblical, godly, holy life that glorifies God. And that's the whole point of your life. You're supposed to glorify God. You're supposed to be conforming to the image of Christ until you die or he comes back for us and we go to be with him. That is the whole purpose of this walk and the word and the spirit working in us and the body to train each other up, as Ephesians 4 says, for the work of the ministry, which all leads to obedience and holiness, all via the biblical gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. Make sure that you're walking in and you're born of that biblical gospel. So thanks for listening. I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that's edified you. Chastisement of the Lord. Study about it. There's other verses that talk about it. It's a great, great concept. Thank you for the dear saint that asked the question, always asking such good questions. I appreciate them. Helps us all grow and helps us all learn. Till next time, I love you all in the Lord. Go out and have a glorious day. We're down the road, street preaching, Christ crucified. May God be praised.